Hello, and welcome to Journey the Monkey King with myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Yo!
So, we are on to chapter 31, and this is going to be the last chapter with the Yellow Robe Demon and 100 Flower Shame.
Yeah.
So, again, pretty bad warnings for this one. I'm just going to read them out. So this chapter is going to have mentions and descriptions of corporal punishment, child abuse, infanticide, just really bad misogyny, a woman being blamed for her own rape, and a small bit of suicidal ideation. So
just a seasoning.
Yeah.
Mind yourselves.
Yeah, if you're like, just feel free to skip ahead to the next chapter if you don't want to listen to that.
Yep. Just take your own peace of mind and your health seriously. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to hunt you down and go, why didn't you listen to this episode? Why? We tracked your IP based on your listening habits, and you listened to all the other episodes, but not this one. Why not? That's we're not going to do that. Frankly, I don't have the time.
So to recap where we were, Xiao Wujing has been imprisoned in the current moon cave. Tripitaka was turned into a tiger and locked in a cage. And the horse has an injured leg. Zhu Baji traveled to the Flower Fruit Mountain to ask Sun Wukong to come back, who refused. Baji then insulted Wukong behind his back, but some of Wukong's monkeys heard him. And Baji now has been dragged before the great sage, equal to heaven. And you're scared shitless.
Lads.
So Wukong orders his monkeys cane Baji 20 times on the leg and 20 times on the back. And then he'll hit him with his iron rod. Baji kowtows down. He says, "Elder brother, I beg you to spare me for the sake of master." And Wukong says, "Oh, master is so just and kind." And Baji begs him again and says, "Okay, if not for the sake of master, at least for the sake of the Bodhisattva, please forgive me." And as it always does, mentioning Guan Yin gives Wukong some pause.
As it should. Guan Yin does not fuck around.
So he stops threatening Baji and he asks him, "Be honest, what ordeal is that Tong monk facing that you came to ask me for help?" And Baji is again lies and tries to claim that there's nothing going on. He was just thinking of you.
Why?
And Wukong says back, "You must love to be beaten. Why are you still trying to dupe me? The old monkey's body has returned to the water curtain cave. His heart still follows the scripture monk. Our master faces an ordeal with each step of the way. He is fated to suffer at every place. You better tell me quickly or you'll be whipped."
The line just seems unnecessary at this point. Just say the thing.
Yeah, people. He actually does. He finally says, "I did try to trick you into going, but I had no idea how smart you are. Please spare me."
Okay, that's better. That's a better way to handle him.
Just flatter him, yeah. So Wukong tells him to stand and tell him what's happening. And Zhu Baji gets up and he starts to look around. And Wukong asks him what he's looking for. And Baji tells him he's trying to find the best direction to run in.
Fair.
Probably shouldn't admit to that, though. Anyway, yeah.
No, but it's fair.
Wukong kind of mocks him. He says, "You know, where are you going to run? I could give you a 3 days head start and I'd still catch up with you. Just tell me."
Yep.
So Baji
fucking do it.
Yeah. So Baji finally tells Wukong about Yellow Robe, 100 Flower Shame, and the precious Image Elephant Kingdom and everything that's happened. Wukong calls him an idiot and says that he told them that if Tripitaka was caught by a demon, they should tell him that Wukong was his eldest disciple. Why didn't you just do that? Baji at this point realizes a lie that might actually work, and he says, "Oh, elder brother, it would have been better if I hadn't mentioned you. Once I told Yellow Robe about you, he said, Oh, who's this pilgrim son that I should be afraid of him? If he shows up, I'll skin him alive, pull out his tendons, debone him, and devour his heart.
Now that is a smart one.
So this pisses off Wukong so much he starts jumping up and down, scratching at his cheeks and pulling at his ears, and he finally agrees to go fight Yellow Robe.
Yay! See, that's all you needed to do. Flattery, just appeal to the ego.
Yeah.
But
with flattery and with abusing it. Or yeah, claiming someone else did, at least.
Yep. Just appeal to the pride, appeal to the ego. How long have you been fucking working with...
Wukong goes to change. He takes off his monster clothes and puts on the silk shirt and tiger skin skirt he was wearing on the pilgrimage. The other monkeys ask him where he's going, and they ask him, well, couldn't you at least stay a couple years? But he tells them that Tripitaka didn't actually banish him. He was just taking a holiday. And he tells them to take good care of the mountain and make sure to plant the willows and pine trees in the right seasons, and he'll be back when the pilgrimage is done. So he's already decided to fully rejoin the pilgrimage at this point as well.
Yeah, he's committed. At this point, I kind of feel he's sort of going, yeah, like, they can't be without me for 10 minutes. And it's true.
Yes, it is true.
As much as I hate to admit it, it is fucking true.
You will hate to admit it even more by the end of this episode. Baji leads Wukong back to the Casserole Mountain with one stop on the way so Wukong can wash himself in the Eastern Ocean, because he's worried that he smells like a monster again and Tripitaka would be offended by it. So they find Yellow Robe. And this is actually kind of an interesting thing. Like, the book, like, the difference between a monster versus a deity or anything else is basically just, like, being righteous or not, I suppose. Like, Wukong goes back to the Flower Fruit Mountain, and he starts being described as a monster again for doing that. And now he's not again for returning to the pilgrimage.
Yeah, there's some clear judgments being made here.
Monster is just, like, you know, it's not a description of a type of being so much as a way of acting, I suppose.
Everyone who doesn't agree with me is monster.
So they find Yellow Robe's golden pagoda, and Wukong sees two boys playing outside. One is about 8 or 9, and the other maybe a bit over 10. And so Wukong immediately decides to kidnap them, and he grabs them out of the air, and they cry for help. So 100 Flower Shame runs out and asks Wukong what the fuck he's doing with her children.
That's fair.
And she warns him that their dad is not a nice person and he won't let you get away with hurting them.
Oh no.
Wukong tells her to go release his brother, Sha Monk, and he'll let her children go. And he calls this a 2-for-1 deal. She's getting a real bargain.
Oh, okay.
So she goes in and orders Wu Jing freed immediately. Wu Jing tells her not to untie him, that if Yellow Robe sees that she's let him go, he'll take it out on her. She tells him that she was already trying to think of a way to let her go, or let him go anyway. His elder brother Wukong just showed up and told her to release him, so she is. But Wu Jing is, like, consistently the only person who, like, actually cares about her or her safety at all.
Sounds like the only person there who has a conscience, really.
Yeah. I kind of said before, I kind of feel like he is kind of the straight man, but actually maybe not even just the straight man, just the, like, voice of reason and just a reasonable person compared to
the
rest
of them.
Kind of the
heart of the group.
So Wu Jing is delighted to hear that Wukong is back, and he runs straight out the door and he bows to Wukong. But Wukong wants to give him an earful. He says, when Master recited the tight fillet spell, were you willing to say a word for me? What are you doing here instead of accompanying Master to the West? And Wu Jing just says, oh, come on, a gentleman forgives and forgets. We need your help. Please, please save us.
Yeah, that's sort of the tactic he could have employed from the beginning, man. But okay.
Wukong tells Wu Jing and Baji to take the two boys they have hostage, fly to the Precious Image Kingdom, and throw the two of them to the ground in front of Yellow Robe so he chases them back, so he'll chase them back here. Because Wukong doesn't want to fight him inside the city. Baji thinks Wukong is like trying to trick them in some weird way. He's like, oh, the boys are already frightened half to death. If we throw them on the ground from the air, that will kill them. And Yellow Robe will kill us if we do that. And that is the point. Wukong wants to piss Yellow Robe off by murdering his two children in front of him. That is the actual
Oh,
plan.
that's the plan, is it? Oh God.
Yeah. And he's completely serious about this, and Wu Jing, as much as I just praised him a second ago for like seeming to be compassionate, does just immediately go along with this.
Hyper murder monkey indeed.
Yeah, and it's like I get you're like I guess you're meant to feel this is justified for them being monsters, and like it's the book's handling of this is so strange because there is like these lines about I don't think the word like about like having a child born of a monster is like this terrible thing and it's unnatural and this kind of thing. But they are not like they are just children. Like they are not described or portrayed or act in any way other than just being scared children. And like earlier in this chapter, Wukong was described as like being a monster 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean he's not really doing a lot to prove anybody wrong there.
So, like, being a monster isn't like an absolute thing. You could stop being a monster, and these children are just like really just portrayed as children, but then we're just expected to go along with them being murdered casually. It's really fucking bizarre. So they fly off, and Wukong heads inside to wait for Yellow Robe to come back here, and Hundred Flower Shame is waiting. And she calls him a fucking liar and said, "You'd release my boys. What are you doing?" And Wukong, being a complete bastard, smiles at her and tells her that her sons are just being brought to visit their grandfather.
Oh.
And she warns him about the boy's father again. And Wukong laughs and he asks her, "Do you know what's considered a crime for a human being living in this world?" Which is a weird sentence, but it probably sounded better in the original language.
Probably.
So she says, "I do," to which Wukong responds, "Oh, you're a woman, what do you know?"
There's some of that misogyny.
Yay!
Yay.
So she mentions her childhood education and quotes the classic of filial piety to him. She says, "Set against the five punishments are some 3,000 crimes, but none is greater than an unfilial act."
Oh.
And he quotes back at
Oh,
her.
honey.
Yeah, it's well that is very much like the morality of this book, to be honest.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But your dad's a dick.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he like yeah. Anyway, Wukong quotes
She
back.
deserves so much better.
Yeah. Wukong quotes back at her from the classic of poetry. These are like real, like part of books, part of like Chinese canon. But from the classic of poetry, and tells her that she has been unfilial by allowing her body to be used by a monster,
Motherfucker.
and she agrees with him and says that she wanted
Oh.
to commit suicide. But she was afraid that her parents would forever think that she had eloped, and she would never be able to clear up what actually happened.
Oh, Jesus.
So, she's basically more concerned about like the good word of her family than herself in all of this, and she calls herself the worst criminal in the whole world and starts sobbing.
Oh, Christ.
Wukong, as he likes to do, immediately does a turnabout and starts like arguing in the opposite direction as he was just doing when he's upset someone. And he said, "There's no need for her to be sad. You saved my master's life, and you wrote that letter to send back to your parents. You were being a good daughter then. Now that old monkey is here, you can rest assured I'll catch this monster, and you can find a worthy mate and look after your parents in their old age. How's that?"
Can she have her kids back?
No. So she tells him again, not to get himself killed. Your two brothers couldn't defeat Yellow Robe, and look at you. You look like a ghost. You're just skin and bones. You look like a crab or a walking skeleton.
Oof.
Wukong tells her that big muscles are useless. They just create wind resistance. And he says, "I'm
All
not."
right.
He says, "I'm like nothing you've ever seen."
I am here for the roast battle between Hundred Flower Shame and Sun Wukong. Like, let's get dirty with this. Let's get fucking. No.
She decides to stop arguing with him at this point and just tells him not to get her in trouble.
That's fair.
And Wukong tells her to stay out of sight. He's worried that because again, because he's worried that she still, or that she, because he's worried that she has some feelings for Yellow Robe and won't want to give him up. And she says she's not
Bitch.
here by choice. And Wukong says, "You've been husband and wife for 13 years. You can't be wholly without affection. And when I see him, I won't be fooling around." It's hard to tell, like,
It's
I don't think the author's handling of women in general throughout the book is very good, but it's hard to tell if he wants to take any particular side here, because Wukong is, like, by our standards, being awful. She doesn't. I don't think she's being particularly portrayed as negative either by be. But sorry, but he's like, you know, he's the main character, and you would expect his point of view to be, I don't know. If not wise, at least intelligent. But she's not exactly portrayed badly here. There was like the last chapter, or was it the one before, where like the narrator just called her fickle out of nowhere. I don't know. I'm
Yeah.
rambling.
I think we can all just agree, Hundred Flower Shame deserves better. Start off with a better fucking name.
Yeah, so she leaves, and Wukong shapeshifts into her appearance, to wait for Yellow Robe.
What's happening with the kids at this point? Sorry, I think I may have lost track of them.
So while this has been going on, Zhu Baji and Xia Wujing flew back to the Precious Image Kingdom and murdered them.
Oh, great.
They just flew over to the kingdom and just threw them to the ground from the air, and they're dead now.
Okay. Fuck.
They were like 8 and 10.
Extra fuck.
Yeah, so Yellow Robe sees that the protagonists of this novel have just murdered his children. And he actually pauses to think for a second. He wonders how Xia Wujing got free, and how the two of them got his children. He thinks this might be a trick, and his children may not actually be dead.
Are they actually
Yeah,
dead?
they are actually dead. Like
Oh, for
they are
fuck's
just dead.
sake.
He is also extremely hungover, and he's worried that if Zhu Baji actually manages to hurt him, he'll lose all credibility. So he decides to ignore Wu Jing and Wu Neng for now, and just head home and see what's happening there and see if his children are all right.
Do they have to actually murder the children?
They really didn't. They
They
really,
really, this
really
just
didn't.
seems unnecessary.
So When Wukong sees Yellow Robe coming, he pretends to be Hundred Flower Shame, and he starts sobbing and crying out for the children. He tells Yellow Robe that Zhu Baji showed up, freed Wu Zheng, and took their children. And realizing that his sons are in fact dead, Yellow Robe vows revenge, but asks Hundred Flower Shame if she's all right first. And he tells her slash Wukong that he has a treasure that if you rub, it will take all your pain away. But you must not Philip your thumb into it. Philip is a verb I had never heard of before.
To Philip?
Apparently it's an archaic word for flicking your finger.
Huh. Interesting.
Spelled Philip.
Well, I am going to integrate that into my daily vocabulary.
So if you flick your thumb into it, it will reveal his true form. So don't do that. So Yellow Robe brings Wukong to a secluded spot before suddenly just vomiting up the treasure,
Like
which
literally vomiting
like
it up?
just spits it
Okay.
out, which is the size and shape of a chicken egg, and made of some kind of white crystalline material. It's compared to Serira? That's probably wrong. It's a type of pearl-like relic that's found inside ashes of cremated Buddhist saints. It's a thing.
Huh.
Wukong takes it and obviously immediately tries to flick it. Yellow Robe tries to grab it off him, but Wukong pulls it away and shoves it into his own mouth and swallows it. So actually, I probably should have included a content warning for this too. Sorry.
Content warning: sacred egg swallowing.
And vomiting, what, swallowing an egg that was just vomited up. It seemed, minor in comparison to everything else.
I mean the infanticide and the blaming people for being raped and just the general violence kind of, I can see that how in all of that this slipped your mind.
So Yellow Robe tries to punch him, but Wukong parries the punch with one hand and uses his other hand to wipe his face and turn it back into its real form. So, and Yellow Robe is shocked and he says, "Mistress, how did you do that with your face?" Which means he attempted to punch Wukong while still thinking it was his wife.
Are we surprised?
No, but I just
No.
felt the need to point that out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a normal enough occurrence for this creature, so yeah.
So Wukong is annoyed that Yellow Robe doesn't recognize him, and Yellow Robe says he thinks, "Oh, you do look kind of familiar, but I can't quite place you." And Wukong introduces himself as Pilgrim Sun Wukong, the eldest disciple of the Tang Monk. And Yellow Robe is confused because Tripitaka said he only had two disciples. He never, no one ever mentioned anyone named Sun.
Ooh.
And Wukong explains his banishment, but quotes the proverb, "Once a teacher, always a father." And between father and son, there's no overnight enmity. And he says, "You insulted me behind your back," or you, sorry, he said, "You insulted me behind my back." And Yellow Robe still doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, and Wukong has to explain that Baji said that Yellow Robe insulted him. And Yellow
Yeah.
Robe tells him that Baji is a fucking liar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Wukong says, he starts going into his little witty banter. He says, "I'm your guest and you haven't shown me any hospitality. You haven't had any food or drink for me. It's very rude. Stick out your head and let old monkey beat it once with the rod. I'll consider that my tea." As quips go, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's not the best. I think he may have used up all the witty sparring on 100 Flower Shame.
So Yellow Robe warns him that he has hundreds of imps under his command. And the translation does actually use the word imps this time. I kind of went on a ramble before about how I was using that as a substitution and it's not actually used in the deck. It is actually used here. Anyway, Wukong says he could take on hundreds of thousands of them, which is probably true. So yeah, Yellow Rope summons all his minions, they all die. Wukong kills them all, he then goes on to fight Yellow Rope. It goes on for a while, there's a poem. Usual stuff.
Yep, rap battles.
Eventually, Monkey decides to use a trick. He raises his rod over his head and leaves a really obvious opening for Yellow Rope to strike. And Yellow Rope takes the bait and swings for Wukong's abdomen, which Wukong is able to block and bring down the rod on Yellow Rope's head. So this causes Yellow Rope to disappear completely. There's no body, there's no blood, he's just gone, and Wukong doesn't have a clue what just happened.
Damn. So he is definitely not dead, right?
No, he's just gone for some reason. So Wukong starts to think that maybe Yellow Rope wasn't an ordinary monster, and he decides to go to heaven to look for answers. So he flies off to the South Heavenly Gate and pushes his way into the Celestial Palace. None of the guards so much as try to stop him. They know at this point.
It's just like, well, who's got the time? No one's being paid enough for this.
The Celestial Masters ask him why he's here, and he explains about Yellow Robe, and he says he suspects that Yellow Robe might be a spirit from heaven, and asks if any deity is missing. They go and check the roles of the nine luminaries, the 12 branches, the five phases of the five quarters, the numerous gods of the Milky Way, the gods of the five mountains and the four rivers, and finally the 28 constellations. And they find there's only 27 constellations present. One is missing.
Oh
Ravati, the Wood Wolf star, has missed four roll calls. The roll is taken every 3 days, so it looks like he's been missing for maybe about 13 days. And 13 days in heaven is 13 years on earth, which is how long ago Hundred Flower Shane was kidnapped.
So the stars themselves hate this woman.
So we'll get to it. It's not good. The Jade Emperor orders the Star Department to recall him. So the 27 other constellations recite a spell together, which causes him to appear. Wukong tries to attack him, but the other stars manage to stop him, and they bring Yellow Robe, the Wood Wolf star, before the Jade Emperor, who asks him why he left to become a monster on Earth. And so Yellow Robe, Ravati, the Wood Wolf star, whatever you want to call him, explains that Hundred Flower Shame is not actually a normal human.
Oh.
She was the Jade Girl in charge of incense in the Spread Incense Hall in Heaven.
Okay.
So she wanted to have an affair with him, but was afraid it would cause a scandal. So she basically planned an elopement to Earth, and she was reincarnated as a human. And Ravati followed her to Earth and took the form of a demon. And then he kidnapped her and kept her for 13 years, and she had no memories or idea of her previous life or any of this.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah, and it's we also like never get her reaction to this at all. Like Hundred Flower Shame is more or less out of the narrative now. We don't get any like thoughts from her, and like the narrative is kind of going, hey, this woman was like kidnapped and raped for 13 years and it was her idea. It's very, very bad.
Yeah, that's really fucking awful. That's not good. That's not good.
I'm sorry for promising like this podcast to you as we read the Funny Monkey book.
It's only been what? How many chapters of horror?
I guess it's four chapters in total, but the Hundred Flower Shame only came into it 3 chapters ago.
Yeah. Out of 100, I mean, how? Oh God, how much worse is it gonna get, Kluva?
I honestly don't trust my memory on this book anymore, to be honest, because I forgot how bad this got.
Well, I just hope that
There's definitely other like chapters where basically there's like as far as I remember, chapters where like female characters come into it a lot are rare. But they're never good.
Yeah.
Other than Guanyin, I suppose she's like the one exception.
Oh yeah, she's the terrifying, competent, super competent person we all
Yeah,
know and fear.
whatever titles they gave when she was introduced was literally the efficacious.
Yeah, she gets shit done, and we love her. But yeah.
The Jade Emperor strips Rvati of his station and his gold plaque, which I guess is his credentials, I suppose. And he orders that he serve as Lao Zi's fire tender for the time being as punishment.
Oh, okay.
But if he does a good enough job, he'll get his old job back. And if not, he'll face further punishment.
Oh my God.
So he gets like.
He gets community
He yeah, he
service.
gets a demotion and probation, basically. So Wukong bows to the Jade Emperor, says thanks, and leaves. One of the officials laughs and calls Wukong uncouth. They sorted out all this problem for him, and instead of showing proper gratitude and respect for the Jade Emperor, he just bows once and leaves. And the Jade Emperor says, no, we should count ourselves lucky that he just left. That's good.
Look, it doesn't matter how he leaves, as long as he leaves, okay? We just do not want him here for more than 15 minutes max. You know, he's gone. That's enough. That's
Yeah.
okay.
Oh. A bit of levity, at least. So, Wukong returns to Earth, and he starts to explain everything to 100 Flower Shame when Baji and Wu Jing arrive back. And they ask Wukong to save them a few monsters to kill themselves, but Wukong tells them he's killed them all already. They're all dead. It's fine. It's fine. They bring the princess back to her home with the magic of shortening the ground and return her to her father. And he explains, and Wukong explains all the shit in heaven to everyone before he goes on to check on Tripitaka, who is still a tiger. Wukong laughs and makes fun of Tripitaka, and he asks him how such a good monk ended up with such a fearsome appearance. And Baji asks him to stop and just save him, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's deserved a, well,
So
he gets a little bit of gloating. He gets that. I think he's allowed.
Wukong says, you pick on me and everything, and you're his favorite, so why don't you just save him? Why do you ask me to do it? I said I'd subdue the monster and leave, didn't I? So
In what wor in what world is Baji anybody's favorite at anything?
I mean, he was put in charge while Wukong was gone. It didn't end
Still a very,
well.
very stupid decision. Yeah.
Wu Jing begs Wukong to save Tripitaka, and he finally says, "Oh, of course I'm going to save him. Just get me some water." So Baji rushes all the way back to the inn they were staying in, fetches the golden alms bowl they had from the luggage, fills it with water, and hands it over to Wukong, which seems very excessive. I'm sure the royal palace has some jugs. But Wukong recites a spell and spits water over Tripitaka, turning him back into a human. Tripitaka, after recovering for a bit, grabs Wukong's hands and asks him where he came from. And Wu Jing fills him in on the whole story again. And Tripitaka tells Wukong, "I owe you everything," and asks him to rejoin the pilgrimage. And he promises to praise him to the Tang Emperor when he returns to China as well.
Nice, okay.
So Wukong just laughs and says, "Don't mention it. Just don't recite that little something, and your kindness will be appreciated."
Does he recite the type fillet spell
He do
again?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Okay, well then. Well then.
So the pilgrims reunited. The king prepares a vegetarian banquet for them in thanks before seeing them off.
Oh, well, he's a dick. Nobody involved here is not a dick, though, so I don't know. As you know, in my head, 100 Flower Shame got sick of everything and ran off, and on her travels met the wallpaper lady.
I should double check what her name was again, so we could stop calling her the wallpaper.
Yeah. She meets the wallpaper lady who runs a small inn. And the wallpaper lady and her like really hit it off, and they run the inn together, and she helps out with the child rearing, and they're just two badass moms running an inn in the middle of nowhere. That's what happens. Yep.
Yeah, like I said, we don't get kind of any perspective on this again. It's just kind of said, Wukong explains stuff to her, and then she goes home, and her perspective is just kind of gone.
I know what I believe.
Yeah. I wonder just that the author, like, the author probably just didn't think of it, to be honest, but I wonder, almost, did he, like, not have a clue how a woman would react to all of this and just kind of didn't bother trying to think of it?
Maybe. Yeah.
She's interesting. She's also, like, noticeably very rude to Wukong. Compared to how most people talk. I've mentioned before how a lot of the language is very formal, and people kind of do this thing of they refer to themselves in the third person in a way that kind of, you know, puts them kind of respectfully in a lower position than the person they're talking to, of like, oh, like calling you. People speak and they say things like calling themselves your servant and this kind of thing. And when she, after the Baji and Mujing fly off with her children, she like addresses Wukong. The next thing she says is, "Hey monk, you're completely untrustworthy," which I phrase that as "you're a fucking liar," because I think just saying, "Hey monk, you're completely untrustworthy" is like really, really strong language for the way the rest of this novel is written. It's really direct, just a straight up, "Hey monk,
this is them at their fucking limit."
Yeah.
This is, yep. Yep. It's very cool.
Yeah, her being rude to Wukong makes me like her even more as well.
Definitely.
To be honest.
Everyone should be rude to Wukong at all times. He does need to get over himself. Well, we're done with this portion of the novel.
Yay!
I am very glad the horse talked and got. Is this leg okay?
I'm sure it'll be fine. It's like wasn't. It was described as being hurt. I don't think it was broken or anything.
That is the part I enjoyed most.
I believe next chapter we can look forward to meeting the golden horn demon and the silver horn demon.
Yay! Cannot wait. Bye. Social media stuff, where you usually find it.